This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our next guest, Jay Billis, ESPN college basketball analyst, does one of the best jobs of articulating how this is going to work or how it could work. Jay, thanks for joining the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are fantastic. First and foremost, what are your thoughts on the NCAA making the decision they made yesterday?
Well, in one measure, you say, okay, well, it's a first step and maybe some incremental progress, and usually progress is incremental, but I'm a little more sanguine and perhaps you could call it cynical, and rightfully so, about it. I don't believe that the NCAA is really attempting to do anything that's going to positively impact the athlete here or provide the athlete with the same economic rights as everyone else. I think what they're trying to do, they feel forced into this by the state of California with a recent law passed, SB 206, and then the other states that are moving to do, if not the same thing, something similar. And then in Congress, where Representative Mark Walker and a colleague have a bill in the House of Representatives to allow college athletes their name, image, and likeness rights. So really what I believe the NCAA is doing here, and I think they said as much, is we're going to look at providing the opportunity for name, image, and likeness rights as long as the players don't ever get a chance to monetize it, because it doesn't fit in with it within this made-up collegiate model we talk about. And I don't think they're really trying to do anything at all. I think they're trying to stall legislation and forestall having to do anything on this. And they're even asking, they even asked Congress, hey, would you mind pulling that bill now that we're doing this? And Congress said no. The two representatives said no, we're not pulling it. So they're going to continue to get pressure, but I wouldn't be surprised to see the NCAA sue the state of California and then just try to delay this and then put something really minimal in place to say, hey, look what we did. But the players don't really have any real rights here. It's just they've made, like, they stepped forward an inch, and that's it.
So what does this mean for what the next step is? It seems to me like there's not a whole lot that's going to change, and that it's still a fight for players to be able to profit off their image and likeness, and not a whole lot changes with this ruling, because it is going to most likely be kicked down the road. What do you see happening, I guess, next from the side of the student-athletes trying to be able to profit? What's the next step for them to be able to achieve that goal?
It'll be more legislation, more saber-rattling and laws being passed, more legal action, so we'll be back in the courts. And then you'll see more action in the courts on behalf of the players. So we had in recent years the O'Bannon case and then the Jenkins case. And the O'Bannon case, actually, even though the NCAA was found to have violated federal antitrust law with regard to name, image, and likeness, the remedies really were in the NCAA's favor. You know, that's where the cost of attendance came from, and essentially. And so, you know, that ruling was actually pretty good for the NCAA. I think what they're doing now is actually going to open that case up for challenge. And basically say, hey, wait a minute. You know, we had the Ninth Circuit said tethered to education. Well, now you're doing something that doesn't have anything to do with education. So why should it be limited in the way you're trying to limit it? I think Jeffrey Kessler and other lawyers are going to be able to challenge the Ninth Circuit ruling in O'Bannon and Jenkins, and we could see some movement there. But it's going to take some time now. And that's exactly what the NCAA wanted. They wanted this to be stalled, so they don't have to do anything in the short run. And they're gonna run, you know, they're gonna run out the clock and stall this and see if they can win a case here, win a case there, and see if they can hang on to their power and hang on to their money, and then keep the athletes the only class really the only class in our society, but certainly the only class in college sports, including any other non-athlete student, that isn't allowed full economic rights. It's really kind of, you know, it's kind of laughable the way they treat athletes and the things that they say. And last thing I'll say, and then I'll shut up, is that
you're fine.
You know, one thing you know for sure in this: a month ago, give or take, when California passed its law, the NCAA said that this is antithetical to what college sports is about, and it is going to ruin college sports. You know, all this stuff and everything teeters on the athlete and all this business that women are going to be hurt. Women's sports are going to be cut. The players are going to become professional. They're going to become employees. We can't hold championships anymore. And then they've basically kind of done an about face flip flop, and you're going, okay, so that's really the principle. You guys have a lot of principles, huh, that you're going to fight for. And they just turned around. Like, this is all phony in my judgment. I don't think there's anything about this that is on the up and up, honestly.
Yeah, Jay, now that you put it like that, I actually kind of see it a little bit the way you've explained it, which is why we had you on. You do such an incredible job of articulating that. Let's talk a little bit about the actual game of basketball. And out here in San Diego, we're expecting a pretty solid team. They got a few transfers that will be stepping in to the fold that create a lot of expectation. What do you think of the San Diego State basketball team this year, possibly?
They'll be good. You know, they lost a lot, and especially when you lose older players. Like, they'll be young, but even when they're older, they'll be inexperienced in the San Diego State way. And so Brian Dutcher's a really good coach. He's got a great staff. They're going to do just fine, but it's going to be a difficult transition to go from having some older players that have been in the system to having a lot of younger guys and then new guys that have transferred in. But they'll figure it out. And one thing you know about San Diego State, especially under Steve Fisher and now Brian, is they're going to guard you and they're going to play really hard. And if you defend and play hard, especially in that league, you're going to have a chance. And I won't be surprised to see, you know, San Diego State back in the NCAA tournament again.
We got Game 7 of the World Series underway over here. And for me, the end of baseball season, one of the things it means is it's the start of college hoop season. So I just like to ask you, Jay, to kind of set the scene. I know last year the main storylines that we kind of all knew going in would captivate the sport were what Zion was going to do, how Virginia was going to bounce back from their early exit. It was kind of a thrilling finish to the season in that regard. What do you see as the emerging early season storylines in the 2019-20 college basketball season in a general sense?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of the usual suspects that'll be really good again, whether it's Michigan State will start the year number one because they've got so many players coming back from last year's Final Four team, which was Tom Izzo's eighth, led by Cassius Winston, who has a chance to hit Bobby Hurley's all-time assist record this year and break that. It's an outside chance, but it's a chance. In Kansas will be powerful and big and long and athletic and deep again. After what, you know, most schools would take Kansas's season last year and say, what a great year. But Kansas, for them, it was an off year because they didn't win the Big 12 for the 15th straight year. But they're going to be top five all year long as they stay healthy. Kentucky, there are two teams that were not quite as good last year. Still good, still NCAA tournament, still good. Florida and Louisville are going to be excellent. Mm. Duke may take a little bit of a step back because they'll be young again, but not with the same kind of power that they had with RJ Barrett and Zion Williamson, and certainly not the star power with RJ and Zion, but they'll still be good and good defensively. But I think honestly, it's going to be a year kind of like 2010 or 2011, where I think it's okay to go into the season going, you know what? I'm not sure about some of these teams. I don't know. And if you'll remember in 2011, that was the year of Kemba Walker, and nobody before the season said Kemba Walker is going to take over and be the best player. Nobody said that. We thought he'd be good, but I didn't think he'd be the best player. And then he took UConn to the national championship. Nobody thought Trae Young, 3 years ago was going to be, or 2 years ago, whatever it is, but was going to be the best player, in the country. And he was. Or at least right there to be the best player. So, you know, there's a lot that we're going to enjoy seeing emerge, and we see it in football all the time. You know, we didn't know that, Kyler Murray was going to be the best player, number one pick last year. We didn't know Baker Mayfield would be the best player the year before, and or the Heisman winner at least. So I think basketball is setting up that way. We knew Zion was going to wow us last year.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of I don't know going into the year, and I think that's kind of exciting. And I'm kind of looking forward to being surprised this year.
No doubt about it. There's no Golden State Warriors this year in college basketball, which I think these set up to be some of the best seasons that we get to witness. Jay, we certainly appreciate your time, and thanks for coming on the show today.
Always my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.